YT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Welcome into ABQ Connect. Another fascinating story we have for you today. We've had Gracia Burnham on the program back in July, and she's coming to Albuquerque. She's going to be here from the 1st to the 5th. But let me tell you a little bit about the story, and then she's going to really get into the ordeal for us. On May 27th, 2001, Gracia Burnham and her husband, Martin, they were missionaries in the Philippines, had their anniversary celebration interrupted when they were seized in the early morning hours from their resort room in the Dos Palmas Resort on Palawan Island in the Philippines. Unbelievable. They were kidnapped. She's written a book called In the Presence of My Enemies. It's been recently updated. It's a terrifying account of their kidnapping and their year-long ordeal to survive. Gracia, you are gracious to be with us again, but I'm excited about you coming to Albuquerque.
Hey, hello, Jim. How are you today?
Well, great, great, great. And I want to let everybody know, we're going to probably say this three or four times, you've got a schedule. Most importantly, on Friday night, September 3rd at Hope Church, 7 o'clock p.m., you're going to be speaking. Doors open at 6:30. Children are welcome, but there's not child care provided, so you might keep that in mind as you do that. Do you have to register for that event? Do you have to go to Eventbrite to register, Gracia?
I don't know that you have to.
Okay.
I did notice it's there. I haven't registered, but I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there. Okay. So, and
that's
it is
a good answer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I know, I believe that they're going to be taking a love offering. There's not going to be any charge. It'll be a nice evening to hear about just an extraordinary story, Gracia. And let me let you get into us. Can you kind of describe the ordeal for us?
Yeah. My husband was a jungle pilot for New Tribes Mission. New Tribes Mission has changed their name recently to Ethnos 360. So we've been in the Philippines doing our thing, you know, supplying missionaries that live out in the middle of nowhere. We've been there for 16 years, and our three children were born in the Philippines, and life was good, and we loved our ministry, and just ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, taken hostage by militant Muslims. And that started a year of just running for our lives through the jungle, trying to stay away from the Philippine military, who, of course, were trying to rescue us. And, you know, living in the jungle, sleeping on the jungle floor, running all the time, hiking, drinking dirty river water. It just was not a nice year for us.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. Did you feel like God had abandoned you, Gracia?
There were times I sure did. You know, I think I had a crisis right about week 10. I decided that God didn't love me anymore, because if he did, I wouldn't be in this mess, because we'd been begging him to get us out. You know, he wasn't listening to our prayer. He wasn't doing what we wanted. And I just, week 10, I think, was a crisis for us, because I'd given God about 6 weeks to get us out of the jungle and back to work, and he didn't come through. And I remember the depths of, I don't know, just depression and just this heaviness just enveloped me. And sweet Martin always knew what to say. He came and sat by the river with me one day and said, "Grace, I'm just so sad to see this happening to you." And he said, I feel like you're giving up your faith." And I said, "Oh, no, no, I'm not doing that. I still believe Jesus died for me. God made everything. I just don't think God loves me." And he said, "Well, I think you believe it all, or you don't believe it at all." And he started quoting verses on the love of God. And we both began you know, quoting all those verses, "For God so loved the world." That's the one everybody knows, that he gave his only begotten son. And we just quoted scripture to us, and that day God did something really, really special for me. I was sick of eating rice. Because Filipinos eat rice every day, but Americans don't do that. And all we would have sometimes is rice and nothing. And that was one of the other things, you know, not good nutrition. And I got back from the river just sitting under a shade tree that day, and the guys brought us little pancakes that they'd made. First time ever we'd had these little pancakes. And it's like, God said, you know what, just trust me, we'll get through this. And yeah, there were days I felt like he'd abandoned us, for sure.
When were you the most scared?
Oh, that would be during gun battles, of course. Let's see, Martin died in our 17th gun battle. So during the year, every once in a while, there would just be these gun battles. The Philippine military would find us, and there was never any selective gunfire. You would think there would be, right, if you were trying to do hostage rescue. But it would just be Rambo-style shooting up the camp. And, yeah, those were the hard times when you were running and dropping and sheltering in place and wondering if in the next moment you were going to die. And at night when they would shoot artillery at us from, you know, 10 miles away, you would hear the thump of the artillery off in the distance, and we would start counting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and usually at 5 or 6, we would hear the, you know, the mortars going over. And sometimes they would land far, and sometimes they would land near. And when you're out laying in the wet grass trying to get some sleep and mortar fires going on over your head, that's disconcerting. Yeah,
absolutely. It sounds like you were close to being rescued.
Well, they would find us. They would find us. It's hard. People say, how could you have gone for a whole year? And there were even some media people that made it in to interview us. And people say, how could that happen and the military couldn't find you? But if you've ever been in the jungle, it's so dense that you can be in one place and, you know, 10 feet away, you can hear the military or something, and neither of you knows the other one's there. So I get it. I don't know if close to rescue is a good word. Close to being found, that happened a lot.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, and you've already mentioned that Martin lost his life in the 17th gun battle, but you were able to escape. I feel badly asking you these questions because I feel like I'm bringing back trauma, but you're going to be here now, Kirky. You're going to be talking about this. You're sharing this. I'm fascinated with a person like you, Gracia, who believes in Jesus and trusts God after having been through an ordeal like this. This is a tough question. At least it is from my perspective. If someone would have paid a ransom demand, would you have been released earlier?
Well, first I should say, Jim, that if you asking me these things, if me speaking about this and answering you caused trauma to me, I wouldn't be doing it because that wouldn't be healthy.
Gotcha.
Somehow I'm just able to talk about it, and I can't explain that either. But you know what? Someone did pay a ransom for us. Right at the year mark of our being held captive, a wealthy businessman in Dallas paid a ransom for us, a man we didn't know. And but by that time, the group had split. Some of the guys had gone back to town because they were sick of being in the jungle, and we had stayed in the jungle areas. And let's see, the CIA had been doing surveillance with some of those overhead drones and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the CIA knew where we were, but the FBI delivered the ransom. And those two people, those two entities don't like each other, and they don't confer with each other. And so the ransom got delivered to the wrong group, the group that didn't have us anymore. So even the ransom didn't work, because the group that got the big ransom just sent a little bit to the guys in the jungle, which made them mad. So actually the ransom was a bad deal, because then the guys holding us were mad.
Goodness gracious. I mean, there just can't be more things in those circumstances that could have been wrong.
Oh, my goodness. And that night when we lay down on our rice sacks to try to get some rest, we were so, so discouraged. Here, the thing we'd been praying for happened, and it didn't even work. And I was just at an all-time low and was just drifting off to sleep, and Martin kind of nudged me, and he said, "Hey, Gracia, I'm so glad that when Jesus paid a ransom for us, it was enough." Mm. And, you know, just the perfect thing to say, right? Got my mind off of us and the horrible situation we were in, and put my mind back on God and the greatness of Him and what He's done for us. And wow, that guy, he just always knew what to say.
He was extra special. Gracia Burnham is on the phone with us this afternoon. She's coming to Albuquerque. She'll be here from September 1st through the 5th. Let's talk about your schedule a little bit. Gracia is the author of In the Presence of My Enemies, a terrifying account of her kidnapping with her husband Martin and their year-long ordeal to survive. They had been serving in the Philippines. Her husband Martin was really a bush pilot, could get into any situation. You had all these washed out roads and floods and things, but he made sure the people in the Philippines had food and water and medical supplies. What an amazing ministry, Gracia.
We loved it. And not every guy gets to do what he loves. Mm. And I'm always so happy that I can just even tell people Martin got to do what he loved to do. And I was so happy to be part of that and try to help make our flight program successful.
Yeah. Amen. Tell us about your schedule when you come to Albuquerque.
Let's see. Well, Thursday, I'm going to do a TV interview. Mm-hmm. At KCHF. I have no idea when that's going to air, so maybe I shouldn't even have said that.
No, that's perfect. We'll be looking for it, because I'm sure once they get that recorded, they'll let us know about it, and that's a lot of fun. And then Friday, I already mentioned this, you'll be at Hope Church.
Yeah. And Friday at Hope Church, I hear there are refreshments, so that's exciting to me. Normally, there's no refreshments where I speak, so
yeah, and,
I'm looking
and,
forward to that.
And the notes say that children are welcome, but no child care provided. So you may not want to take children, say, under 12. They may be a distraction, but you have a rated G presentation. Is that what I'm hearing?
I really do, and actually, I love it when kids come. Little kids are very intrigued with my story, and I'd love it if people brought their children. And no, I don't think they're going to hear anything that's going to traumatize them. They're going to hear a story of a great God showing up in a very difficult situation. Mm, so, I love having kids in the audience myself.
Well, a second opportunity, if you can't make it Friday, September 3rd, to Hope Church at 7 o'clock. That's at 4710 Wantabow Boulevard, Northeast. Again, children welcome. No child care provided. There will be refreshments. No charge for the event. There will be a love offering. And, Gracia, you're it's neat that you're going to come all the way out here to share with them. But a second opportunity for our listeners to see you will be Sunday, September 5th at Faith Bible Church, 9:15 a.m. You're going to be, I guess, in the pulpit for the morning worship. That's at 9600 Central Avenue Southwest. Southeast. A lot of our listeners are very familiar with Faith Bible Church because the third Tuesday of every month in the evening, we have Creation Science Fellowship in Albuquerque meets Ooh. At that church. So Faith Bible Church, they are their pastor and everybody, they really love to have guests come in and talk about what I'm going to call real life situations and how God has walked you through those kind of things. So that's neat. Sunday, September 5th, Faith Bible Church, two services, 9:15 a.m. and 10:30. That's at 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. You're going to have your books available, and I should mention both of your books. In the Presence of My Enemies is the book we're focusing on right now, but you've also written one that's called To Fly Again, Surviving the Tailspins of Life. And when I talked to you in July, you told me that was more like a devotional. I have not had a chance to read it.
Yeah. I should say that on Sunday at Faith Bible Church, the 9:15 a.m. is the Sunday school hour, so I'll be doing something different than the 10:30. I'm actually going to do some show and tell. I have some clothes that I wore in the jungle, so in the Sunday school hour. But, yeah, To Fly Again. After I wrote my first book, which is the account of us being held hostage, Tyndale, the publisher, asked for another book, and I said, I don't have anything else to say. I've said it all. And they said, oh, Gracia, it'd be a shame for us not to know how God changed you in the jungle. How are you different now than when you started through that trial? So it's, yeah, just short chapters about gratitude and finding forgiveness and trusting God and anger, because I was so angry at those guys much of the time. So, yeah, a lot of women like To Fly Again for Bible studies because it has a downloadable discussion guide at the back of the book. So a lot of women order that for their women's Bible studies.
A lot of fun. We're talking with Gracia Burnham. She is the author of two books. In the Presence of My Enemies is her account of her kidnapping and year-long ordeal to survive in the Philippines with her husband, Martin. They were both missionaries in the Philippines, just literally trying to help people that were isolated from food, water, and other kinds of supplies. And her second book is called To Fly Again, Surviving the Tailspins of Life. She's going to be speaking, she's going to be on a TV show recording. We don't know when that's going to play, but she'll do that Thursday morning, the 2nd. Friday, September 3rd, she'll be at Hope Church, 7 o'clock p.m. Doors open at 6:30. No charge for the event, so make sure you get over to that. That's at 4710 Wantabo Boulevard. I think you'll be really encouraged. And then if you can't see her on Friday, Sunday, September 5th at Faith Bible Church, 9:15. She'll be doing kind of the kids hour. Is that what you're calling it?
Well, it's the Sunday school hour, so everybody that's there early, I think they're going to combine Sunday schools, and we're just going to have a good time in that hour.
That'll be a fun thing. And then at 10:30, you'll be at the morning worship. That's at Faith Bible Church, 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. Now, I should share with everybody that we're also dragging you in front of the staff, which we have 168-plus staff people at Calvary Church. You'll be speaking to us on Thursday afternoon. We're going to have a little lunch with you, and that'll be extra special for our staff, so we appreciate you doing that. We're going to be back on ABQ Connect with Gracia Burnham and talk a little bit more about her terrible ordeal in the jungle of the Philippines. Her book's called In the Presence of My Enemies. We'll be right back.
Can a virtuous man hesitate? This is Roger Patterson with a Minute of Vision for Life. As we celebrate our nation's independence today, let us recall that our liberty was not simply handed to us. American fathers and husbands left the warmth of their beds to fight the British invasion at Concord and Lexington. In his book, Seven Men, Eric Metaxas highlights George Washington's impact as a great leader of our nation in its infancy. Upon hearing of the hundreds of casualties on both sides of the fight, Washington in that moment decided to stand up and fight for the liberty of this land. One of the things that we need most in our day and time is virtuous men to stand up and fight for our families, for our faith, and for our future. You see, in our liberty, we must remember our responsibility. And the Scripture calls us all to pray for those in leadership. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, "Pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives."
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
We are commanded not just to see people saved, but to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things Jesus commanded. Our Shepherd School does this at an exceedingly high level. It is a mentorship program for men to be trained in apologetics, theology, character, prophecy, Bible study, preaching, practical ministry, leadership, and more. This opportunity comes only once every 2 years. Find out more and receive an application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
I want to encourage you to watch for where you push back the most. As we cover several different sessions in this teaching, there may be times when you say, "Oh, I disagree. That doesn't apply to me." Whenever I find myself disagreeing or arguing with someone or saying, "That's not true for me," that's often a cue that I need to pay very careful attention. Watch for wherever you push back. It's at whatever point that you disagree the strongest that often indicates where you have the most to learn. Whenever I say, "Oh, no, that's just not true. No, you're completely wrong," it often indicates I don't have the context to know what someone else is talking about. Where you disagree the strongest, it often indicates where you have the most to learn.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. We are back on ABQ Connect with Gracia Burnham. She and her husband, Martin, were Philippine missionaries. For how many years, Gracia, were you serving?
We were there 16 years.
16 years and raised your children in the Philippines?
Mm-hmm.
And how many children?
Yeah. Three? Three kids were born there.
Yeah.
Made in the Philippines, we say. So much is.
Well, you,
my kids were too.
Yeah. Hey, in your book, and I asked you this the last time, but we have to introduce a little romance here. In the light of the tragedy, we've got to talk about some really, really neat things with you and Martin. You say in your book, you would be happy anywhere as long as you were together with Martin. Tell us about your relationship.
Well, I just really loved that guy. I met him at Bible College in Kansas City. Calvary University is where we met. And Martin was already an excellent pilot and a flight instructor. And I knew that he was a missionary kid. And I just really loved that he was his own person and didn't have to put on airs and, you know, wore cowboy boots to all the the dress up things. I just really loved him and felt like God was calling me to him. And you know, people say, "When did God call you to missions, Gracia?" And I said, "Oh, I don't think he did. I think he called me to Martin." And I would have been happy if we'd stayed in Wichita, Kansas, where he worked for Cessna. If we'd stayed in Kansas and he'd worked at Cessna, I would have been perfectly fine with that because I just feel like my job was to help Martin with whatever God called him to do. But when Martin said he wanted to go to the Philippines as a pilot, I was thrilled because I'd always had an interest in missions. I grew up in a pastor's family, so it was perfect for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, a lot of women today, Gracia, and I have a lot of people on the program that talk about this, they are calling out men, they're calling out husbands to really step up in all kinds of situations. You know, be a better dad, be a better provider, have integrity, don't be involved in, you know, things that distract from making you a good father and other things we just mentioned. But you really have an experience with Martin where you've already mentioned this. Your husband not only stepped up, but he helped keep you going.
Oh, he really did. That guy just knew what to say when I was at my lowest, whether he needed to say, "Gracious, sit down and shut up," because that's what he said sometimes. Or if he just needed to encourage me or tell me a stupid joke or sing me a silly song, or he just always seemed to know what to do. You know, I think it's almost people don't want to hear anymore that women are called to men to be their helper. You know, that's what God made us for. And I don't think women want to hear it anymore, but that's what Scripture says, that, you know, God calls us to be a helper for some guy. And, you know, if you had interviewed me and this tragedy never would have happened, this traumatic happening, I might not have even known the depth of Martin's love for the Lord and his walk with the Lord and his being there for me. You know, I knew I was married to a neat Christian guy, but I just didn't know the depth of what he was until the big thing happened and he stepped up. And I'm glad I got to see that about Martin.
Yeah. Gracia, he was willing to give his life for you.
Well, of course. Yeah, he really was. And he would coach me. He would say, "Now, if you get out and I don't, you know, get this kind of car and you'll want to put this much money down." And, you know, he was always kind of coaching me what to do if life went on without him. And just a sweetheart. Yeah, I'm glad we got to, you know, I always wanted to grow old with Martin, and it happened. We looked at each other one day, and we had grown old together. He looked like a thin old man, and I was hobbling like a thin old lady. So we grew old together there in the jungle.
Was writing the book helpful for you and your children to work out feelings? I know they had obviously some trauma about losing their dad, and you for that whole year.
Yeah, I think writing it was very good for me. The guy that kind of coached me along writing it, Dean Merrill, such a dear man, has become a sweet friend, and he would say, you know, "Gracia, this right here that you wrote, this is a great story, but I need to know what you were feeling when you went through this." And I realized that I hadn't brought my feelings were stuffed back somewhere in my head, because if you thought about how you were feeling in the jungle, I would get hysterical. So I just kept pushing the feeling of this and doing the next thing. And I think writing the book was really good. You know, my children, it was a New York Times bestseller. And my kids didn't read that book for years and years. They said, "Mom, that book will just make us sad." And I said, yeah, it will. So someday if you want to read it, read it. And my daughter didn't read it till she was a college student. She went to Bible school at New Tribes Bible Institute in Wisconsin. And she decided to read my book, and she said she was just sitting in the lounge bawling, and everybody was kind of laughing at her because they'd read the books years ago.
Yes.
You know, poor Mindy was just now experiencing the hard time.
You know, you mentioned Dean Merrill trying to draw out how you felt throughout things, and I think you did a really good job of that. I was particularly fascinated really at the beginning of the book where you were almost defiant of your abductors as they pointed AK-47s at you. You mentioned getting dressed, walking instead of running to defy their orders. And the most intriguing thing to me was to make sure your wedding ring was secure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that defying what they wanted me to do. You know, one guy would walk behind me and jab me in the back with his weapon, and I was just mad at the guy. So anger is what drove that. I was mad at him, so I wasn't going to run. I was going to walk, and I would slow down when he would do that, which probably isn't the thing to do. And I've forgotten the second part of the question.
Well, I was just interested. You described how you were feeling, and you weren't going to run out of your room without your clothes on. I mean, you're having a honeymoon, and you or a anniversary celebration, and you go to this beautiful resort, and in the early morning hours, you have people banging on your door and screaming at you and taking you out, and you defied them even then to get dressed before you went out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what, Jim? We'd spent way too much money on that. We even talked about it. Can we afford going to this place that all our friends had told us was so wonderful? And we'd really, you know, bit the bullet to even go and hear this awful thing had happened. Yeah, you mentioned my wedding ring. Right away when they took us from the cottages that were built on stilts out over the water, and they took us to a waiting speedboat. And as we pulled away from the dock, they raised their weapons in the air, you know, Allah Akbar, and we knew who had us. And right away I looked down and I saw my wedding band, and I slipped it off my hand and I stuck it in my pocket. Yeah, I had insisted on putting on decent clothes when they took me out of the room. And I kept that wedding band in my pocket for months and months and months. Now, Martin, he was more trusting of these guys because they told us right away, you know, would we ever steal from you? No, the Quran forbids it. Would we ever touch your women? No, the Quran forbids it. And so Martin thought, oh, these are honorable men. And he just left his wedding band on. And, you know, just a few hours into our captivity, a guy said, I want that ring. So he took it from him. Uh-huh. And I said, I told you so. I told you to hide that ring. But I was able to, when one of the other girls in the group got ransomed out, I very quietly slipped my wedding ring to her. And I said, you know, take this out and give it to my friends and tell them I want my daughter Mindy to have it. And if you lose it on the way out, that's okay. I don't care. I just don't want these guys to have it. So getting that wedding band out was a real victory. Yeah.
Gracia, how do you feel about your captors today?
Well, I pray for my captors today. That's what Jesus said. He said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who use you. And so in my mind, my big enemies are probably the guys who held us captive and led to the death of my husband. So I pray for them, and I pray good things for them. I pray that God will touch their hearts. I pray that they'll have food today, and that when they have food, they'll see God's goodness to them, and that someone will step out of their comfort zone and share the gospel with them there in the prison, because a lot of them are there in the prison. Of course, a lot of them aren't, but I just pray that God will do a work in their hearts, and he has. So far, five Abu Sayyaf that I know of have come to know the Lord Jesus. So,
wow.
That's a wonderful rest of the story, right? God always has a rest of the story.
And Grace, have you talked to some of your captors since this happened?
I haven't talked to them, but I've corresponded with them. Several of the ones who've come to know the Lord are in a prison in Manila. And, yeah, we've exchanged letters. And actually, when I speak, I think I'm going to read one of the letters from one of the guys that writes me, not exactly just like pen pals, but I've heard from him several times. But I haven't been to the prison there in Manila, but you know what? My husband's parents, Paul and Arita Burnham, went into that prison went back to the Philippines and talked with some of the men who held their son captive and shared the Lord with them. And they're just people of great faith. And, you know, God does that in a heart. You don't just make that happen in your heart, forgiveness and kindness towards those who do you dirty. The Holy Spirit said, you know, he'll give you love and joy and peace and kindness and forgiveness. That's a work of God in your life, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Gracia, when you were being held captive, and I know it was a long time ago, 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing any grace in any of your captors then? Was there any kindness throughout that year that they showed to you?
You know, there sure was, because Filipinos are the most wonderful people on the planet. They're kind and giving and sweet, and life's a party, and oh, how we loved living in a land full of Filipinos. And these men were terrorists, but they were Filipinos as well. So there were some extreme kindnesses from them. Just they hated to see me cry, and I sat and cried every day, because, you know, you weren't sleeping well, you weren't eating, drinking dirty river water, so you had dysentery and diarrhea all the time. And, you know, add that to not seeing your kids and being held hostage. You know, I just sat around crying all the time, and they hated that. And they would always say, oh, Mrs. Bornham, don't cry. And I don't know, sharing food with us. Sometimes they were selfish and awful and made me mad, but there were times when if they had a little bit of extra food, they would bring us, you know, a couple of cookies to eat or a hot drink that they had just made. And there were kindnesses. Yeah.
Well,
it could be a much worse story than it is.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Gracia Burnham is on the phone with us today. She's written two books, one called In the Presence of My Enemies. It's a terrifying account of her kidnapping with her husband, Martin. They were serving as missionaries in the Philippines. They had a year-long ordeal just trying to survive, and Gracia is going to be sharing about these events and things that were happening. She's going to be here from the 1st through the 5th in Albuquerque. Of course, people from all over New Mexico, hope you'll come up and be part of it. On Friday, September 3rd, she'll be at Hope Church. That's at 4710 Wantabo. 7 o'clock presentation begins. Doors open at 6:30. There will be a love offering. There's no charge. Gracia's coming out here just to share the story and encourage you. On Sunday, September 5th, she'll be at Faith Bible Church, 9:15 a.m. Is the Sunday school hour, and she'll be doing something a little different. And then her primary presentation at 10:30. That's during the morning worship at Faith Bible Church, 9600 Central Avenue Southeast in Albuquerque. If you want more information about the books and things, go to Gracia Burnham. That's GraciaBurnham.org. GraciaBurnham.org, and you can find out more and more information. She's still working with Ethnos 360. They used to be called the New Tribes Mission. What's Ethnos doing now, Gracia?
Same thing they've been doing for over 75 years. Ethnos 360 is really good with reaching tribal people with the gospel. Mm. Those people tucked away in mountainous regions where often no roads even go. But there's a lot of people up there, and they live just like their ancestors lived. And no one's ever been into their villages to tell them anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know the basics of clean drinking water, much less what the gospel is. And so Ethnos 360 missionaries, you know, a missionary family with their little children will move into a village, because it's a long-term sign-me-up project. Mm-hmm. It's not to go on a short-term mission trip. And they'll go in there, and they need to be, you know, think of all the stuff you buy for your family in a month. Mm-hmm. Those people living in the jungle need food. They need homeschool stuff. They need medical supplies to help in the village. They need building supplies. So we would buy all that stuff for them out in the small town we lived in, and we would put it in the aircraft that we were flying, and we would fly it into those stations where those missionaries were staying. So our job was just to keep them supplied and keep them in there so they could concentrate on learning the language and Bible translation and teaching and, you know, fish ponds, ways to help the people better themselves. And, we weren't even really the real missionaries, Martin would say. We were just we just drove the airplane. And, but, you know, it takes everybody. Everybody is going to have to be strategically involved in reaching this world if we're going to reach those hard-to-reach places, and that's what's left. And we can all be part of it. We just need to look and see where we fit in. And that's what I hope some of my speaking will do, you know, help people plug in to the work around the world for the gospel.
Yeah, amen. Gracia Burnham, we're going to have one more segment with you. If you can stay with us, we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Pastor Scott Thom. I've been training men for ministry for 30 years. Seminary is expensive, time-consuming, and typically during the day when most of us are working. Our Shepherd School is inexpensive and only one night a week. If you desire deep theology, practical equipping, and personal mentorship, find out more information and receive a catalog and application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Here's John Chitwood with an automotive analogy.
Wouldn't you agree that most people have never even read the small owner's manual that's found in the glove box of all their vehicles? That is because they think they know it already and will only open and read it in a time of an emergency. Sound familiar? There is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. It's God's written word, the Bible. God is the creator and the designer. And in the Bible, you will find God's design and purpose for your life and how He made a way of salvation for you and me that we may have eternal life with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us remember what David said in Psalm 119, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you."
An automotive analogy with John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT.
Knowing God from Harvest America with Pastor and Evangelist Greg Laurie.
Corrie ten Boom, a wonderful woman of God, once made this statement: God takes our sins, He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He posts a sign that says, "No fishing allowed." You need to understand that when you sin, and when I sin, and when we sin, we need to ask God to forgive us. But know this, when God forgives you your sin, He forgets it. He says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And I wonder if you have the assurance that your sin is forgiven. Or are you dragging it around, a heavy load of guilt that you face each and every day? You try to drown it out with alcohol. You try to numb your mind with drugs. Or you just are endlessly just having the television on and noise on and just things to distract you from the guilt that eats at you each and every day. I'm telling you, you can have your sin forgiven. Could you use a little spiritual refreshment right now? You're just beat down in life, then you need to ask Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead 3 days later, to come and live in your heart and life. Because Jesus stands at the door of your life and He knocks. And He says, if you'll hear His voice and open the door, He will come in. And the Bible promises times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord.
You were created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with Him by going to harvest.org. Just click on Know God. Already know God? Invite others to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, online courses for Christian growth, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can be found at harvest.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Gracia Burnham. She is the author of In the Presence of My Enemies. It's an account of their terrifying kidnapping as they were having an anniversary celebration. They were in a beautiful resort, the Dos Palmas Resort on Palawan Island in the Philippines, a place that had been recommended to them as beautiful and romantic. And in the early morning hours, Martin and Gracia were kidnapped and then drug all the way around the islands of the Philippines for 1 year, 17 gun battles. I mean, this is got to be made into a movie soon, Gracia. Hey, you were talking about flying, and I don't know if you did a lot of the flying. I'm not a small plane person, but I guess tongue in cheek, I'm going to say there weren't any real nice runways for Martin to land in when he was delivering these food and medical supplies.
No, when these families would move into a tribal village, usually the man would go first, get permission to move into that village from the tribal elders, and he would hike for days just to get in there and have a little shortwave radio and start clearing a mountain. It's what it took. I know that Martin was a second generation missionary, and his parents were tribal missionaries. And when Paul Burnham went into the Iboloy people, not so far from Baguio in the Philippines, he took a wheelbarrow and a pickaxe and a shovel. That's all he had. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, he cleared this place. And, you know, all these years later, you know, 35, 40 years later, there's a thriving church in the Iboloy, and they're reaching their own people, going out to more villages. And that's what it takes. You know, you just have to figure out a way to make it work. And our mission agency has Ethnos 360 Aviation, which is headquartered there not so far from Albuquerque in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Has kind of gone to helicopters. We're trying to go to helicopters because you have to you don't have to build that airstrip up the mountain.
Mm.
You just have a nice landing pad. So our missions tried to go to helicopters recently.
You know, I hope you take this as a compliment, but I'm thinking that Martin, if he was a young man in today's world, he would have been one of these X Game guys doing flips, trying to land a skateboard in an area, you know, on the side of a pool that's, you know, half an inch wide. And I mean, because that's what I'm envisioning. He's having to do all this crazy X Game stuff with an airplane, and it just had to be terrifying.
He really was excellent at what he did. And, you know, these airstrips weren't long. You know, you have 350 feet to, you know, 600 if you had a really great one. And it was on the side of a mountain. So often he would land and you would think you have to get on the brakes when you land. But no, you have to give it full throttle to get up the mountain to the little turnaround at the top.
Mm.
And then unload and reload with whatever. And then going down, of course, you go off the edge of the cliff and it's instant altitude, right?
Yes.
So, it's kind of like a scary ride at Disney World, I think, is what what flying into those strips were. But he was really good and he had good training. And I think God gives us gifts. I think God gifted Martin with the gift of piloting. I know that's not one of the gifts listed in Scripture, but I think he really gifted Martin for the life that he had for him.
Well, you mentioned early that you felt like your calling was to support your husband and love your husband and mm-hmm. the ministry that he was obviously called to, which was flying these airplanes into scary places. But you also admit in your book, which I thought was... It brought a smile to my face. You talked about your hostage training and Ethnos 360, I guess at the time it was New Tribes Mission, provided some training for you if you should be taken hostage, but you admit that maybe you should have paid a little more attention to that comment for us.
That kind of hostage training or what to do in an emergency was sort of new with the mission. And they did. They sent a guy from the United States that had had that training in the armed services. And the day he came to our area, we didn't even want to go to class because Martin had a 100-hour inspection that he needed to do on the plane in the hangar. And I had guests coming for supper, and so we sat in the back, and I'm not even sure we listened well. I think I jotted a few notes, but we left early. We didn't even stay for the whole thing. And not too smart, but things have changed with our mission agency now, because of course the world has changed and it's more dangerous and more groups out there trying to cause harm, so everyone gets really good training with our mission agency now, and I think people maybe know that, yeah, you better stay for the whole thing.
Yeah. Gracia, do you encourage people to be prepared now? I mean, I guess reading their Bibles and really understanding that, you know, the eventualities can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I love that question, because, yes, we do need to be prepared for the thing that we think's never going to happen here. I hear that in some of these countries where things are not good for Christians right now, and that's been in the news a lot, and our hearts are so heavy for our brothers and sisters who are suffering atrocities right now. I hear that they're teaching their children how to die well. Mm. You know, some bad men may beat on our door and burst into our house, and there's going to be lots of shouting, and there you might see some awful things. Just close your eyes tightly and you'll wake up with Jesus. Can you imagine having to teach your children that? And so if you train yourself, when someone puts a gun to your head and says, are you going to convert, or are you going to say you're, are you a Christian? Have that already in your brain, because I don't think well during an emergency.
Yes.
So, and the more scripture you know, the more your mind is going to be renewed, and the less fear you're going to have, and that may not even be what you were thinking about with that question.
No, it is. It is absolutely.
That's what has been on my heart and my mind. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, whether it's a health downturn and you hear the doctor say something that is unimaginable. You need to, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Have that in your mind, so that's the first thing you think. Our ways are not God's ways. And the arm of flesh is going to fail you, but God's arm is almighty. And have those things in your mind so you can just, it's there when you need it.
Are you in touch now with any of the other hostages that were taken with you?
I am. Not real closely, but like on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been back to visit. Once I went back to testify against some of the bad guys, and I got together with some of the other hostages, and I took my children back to the Philippines one Christmas just because they were so unsettled, and a lot of people said they thought they needed closure. And, yes, that was the perfect thing. We just went back for a Christmas visit, and the kids got closure. And I'm not even sure I know what closure is, but I watched it happen.
Mm.
So, yes, I've been in contact with some of the other hostages, and life goes on. And, I think God teaches us important things through what we suffer, and I'm sure that he's done that with them as well. And I just trust him with that.
Well, it is going to be so fun to see you here in Albuquerque as part of the staff at Calvary Church. I get to see you on Thursday afternoon at lunch. That's actually kind of a not a public thing, but we're going to have fun talking to you and hearing your story in person. But on Friday, September 3rd, Hope Church, 7 o'clock, absolutely free of charge, 4700 Wantabo Boulevard. You're going to be speaking at Hope Church, and a love offering will be given, and it'll be a nice thing, and I hope people will be really blessed. Also, Sunday, September 5th at Faith Bible Church, you're going to be there during the Sunday school hour at 9:15, and then for the morning worship service at 10:30. That's located at 9600 Central Avenue Southeast. Your books will be available, and let me remind everybody about your books, In the Presence of My Enemies. It's an account. The book has recently been updated. You even have information about your captors, and you call it your captor roster. That is just amazing to me, because you really had relationships with all of them too, didn't you?
Oh, sure. Well, when you live with someone for a year, you get to know them pretty well. So, yeah, we knew those guys. Yeah.
Well, and it's exciting to hear that some of them have come to faith in Christ. And, you know, you just never know. I mean, a lot of times people believe they are something when they don't even understand what it is they're doing. They just, you know, follow like sheep. So when people really get to think about their life, reflect on their life, and you're going to help us all do that, and thankfully without having to go through this. So I think it's really, really valuable. Gracia, thank you for being with us today on ABQ Connect. Looking forward to meet you in person. Safe travels to you.
Thank you. I can't wait to get there and meet some of the people who prayed for us. I always love that. I love that.
Amen.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.